Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two on this Friday edition. Today is December 11th, 2015. We have a great show. Mr. Steve Quayle and Chip Tatum. Gene Chip Tatum is our guest, both Steve and Chip. And we are fascinating first hour, so much information. We're going to pick right up where we left off.
I just want to say we're going to skip the any reads for this hour. Just go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, HealthMasters.com. That's all I'm going to say. This is an important broadcast, perhaps one of the most important broadcasts we've done this year, and without hyperbole. Where we left off before the top of the network news was about the gun grab, going after the guns. Mr. Tatum, this will not be pretty.
No, and that's what they're hoping for. You know, the first time that they can get shots fired, they can start making statements, you know, like the old days with Reno, you know, how they went after things. You know, they learn from those lessons, they move forward from those lessons, and now they know exactly what they're doing and how to go about doing it. And they've got all these gangbangers in the streets to help them out justifying what they want to do. So it's going to be pretty nasty, because if I were there, and I'm not going to be there for this, I can tell you that now. I'm down here for at least 6 months. But if I were there, it would get nasty for me too.
Well, yeah, I would say this, as your friend of two decades, just recently reunited with you and introducing you to a population that just gets a benefit of how amazing your, and this isn't kissing anything, but your life is amazing. And I really believe that, you know, the things that you've gone through were obviously, you know, you're alive, but you can teach people a lot if they'll listen. And based on the gangbangers, and based on, you know, let's just face it, that's the private army that's being built to overthrow the country. What do you make of even, and it's not urban myth or anything. We had a gentleman who's, I believe his brother was married to a very high-ranking Russian who was called, in former military, called to Moscow and shown the requests by the former, Department of Homeland Security before that, FEMA, requesting Russian soldiers here to take away the firearms. And then we had the issues with everybody who is a firearm owner and their homes being marked with GPS trolls under the idea of, and by the way, they drove right to the front door. I happened to have one come to my house when I lived at my old location, and right up to the door. And they didn't even know what they're doing. They were just useless. When I say drones, I'm talking human drones. So given that issue with foreign mercenaries, and it's not just Russians, you know, do you believe that, and I'm going to ask you right out, do you believe that Barack Obama basically takes his orders from Moscow, or does he take his orders from Saudi Arabia?
You know, I think more from Saudi Arabia. However, people, we have to remember his remarks that he thought the microphone was off when he was talking to the Russian leader, is that I'll have more levity to do things after the election.
Right.
You know, you have to remember those words. They meant something. What did they mean? But honestly, I think that because of the oil, because of the support and everything else that Obama gets, I think Saudi is probably more in play for Obama than anyone else. However, like I say, Russia is there. There are other countries that are there too. Look, folks, Cuba. Let's talk about refugees and how refugees are handled when they come into the United States. When a refugee comes in from the United States asking for asylum, they're brought in. They're put in a place like a holding facility called in Chrome, one of them named Chrome, a federal holding facility, and they're investigated. Some of them there are there. None of them leave before a year. They're in that facility at least a year before they're put out on the streets. But look what's happening with Syria. These people are put right out onto the streets. They're given their ticket. They're given their they're actually given a home too, Steve, not just the money. And I can say that because when I had the proprietary, when we ran the proprietary company for the government, we ran a mortgage proprietary company, and we were processing mortgages for these folks coming in who really didn't exist. We had to create credit reports for them and everything else. We used a program called Genesis 2000 at the time, and we were creating everything for them to get home loans from major banks, and they were just fast-tracked through by a company called Carl I. Brown and North American Mortgage. So, you know, that's what's going on even today. They've done it in the past. They know how to do it. They can fast-track these people into homes, give them some pocket money. We have caches of weapons sitting here in the United States. Texas has a wonderful warehouse of weapons that can be that aren't accounted for, that have no serial numbers, that are unknown origin. To the American government. Yeah, origins are unknown, and those caches are there in place and ready to be distributed.
Well, you named one of them in one of your articles on your, your blog, your network blog, and so, is it in San Antonio?
Outside of San Antonio, Leon Springs. We went there.
Yep.
When we were preparing for the Iran-Contra stuff to supply weapons out of there to our people down there.
What's your thoughts on a coordinated Pinzer movement from Canada and from Mexico, and do you see that as a timed event? In other words, the order will be given, and they'll flood the northern border. They, you know, all of the miscreants who are obviously only purpose in life is to overthrow the United States that once was and bring it into a hellhole to fulfill, by the way, their Islamic prophecies. I mean, every news story now, ISIS is claiming this is Armageddon. Fascinating for the Muslims to be openly declaring it, the Pope's declaring it, and this is interesting, okay? The Russian Orthodox, the head, is declaring it. Some of the, and I'm just telling you this, I'm not endorsing anybody, but and the Jewish sage, the most famous mystic, is endorsing it, and the American people are ignoring it. It just is mind-bending. And, you know, it's one of the things, Gene, I get accused of being fear-mongering and a purveyor of doom porn or comic book Christianity, and this is by people that absolutely are, how do I say this, in such either massive denial, or they're being paid by somebody just to undermine everything that could possibly be a warning. But does it not speak to you of Monarch, and does it not speak to you of MK Ultra, the degree of mind control that's in America, where people don't even know how to ask the right questions anymore?
It's the complacency of America. That was discussed years ago in our the New World Order discussions out of Jupiter Island. Americans are complacent, will remain complacent, as long as we keep the economy in a place for them, as long as we keep roofs over their heads, gas in the car, food on the table. Americans are going to be complacent. They aren't going to go out into a right-wing conspiracy area, or even, you know, they want to move America to the left, as much as they can to the left. And you can see that's what I was talking about, the degradation of morals and everything else going on here as an outsider looking in. Now that degradation moves them to a complacency pose. You know, they just don't care because everything's wonderful here at home.
Well, that illusion's going to be shattered. You're probably watching Donald Trump in the polls today. I mean, they are outright, I'm talking liberals, and I agree with Michael Savage, it's a mental disorder, but these guys are freaking telling people, you know, they can't wait for Donald Trump to get murdered. One supposed intellectual saying they gotta murder everybody that votes for him. I mean, you know, I gotta watch my mouth here. I either watch my mouth or I wash my mouth out. But the point being is that it is so anti anti every value we've ever known. These guys are calling for the assassination of the head running, quote, Republican. By the way, doesn't it amaze you, too, to see the Republicans peeing their pants over Donald Trump? I mean, you got guys like Rubio, and you've got guys like Paul Ryan. All these guys are, and the worst was Boehner, you know. I mean, you've got the Republicans absolutely just rolling over and going along with it all.
Well, remember back in the old days, a guy named Jim Bell, Assassination Politics, a paper he wrote on how to get a lottery going to assassinate people. You know, that was just a piece of paper that they wrote. I mean, it wasn't anything that was in place. However, these people, and he was thrown in prison, and these people are making these outright statements, and the government's allowing it to go on. You know, they're promoting the assassination of a front runner in United States politics. I left the black ops because I was asked to neutralize one of the front runners, and I just wouldn't do it. And, you know, but things have changed.
And let me say, when you first said that on my program, you know, whenever we were on together, Gene produced documentation, and that statement is absolutely true. I'm just telling you, Doug, he's not saying that without documentation, you know. I've seen the sign-off on it.
And I think that we have posted that for our last program. There was a document
right. That
was redacted, but read between the lines. You got it.
Here's something, Gene, you'll find out on Leon Springs. Again, coming in from a highly placed source in real time, has two known ISIS supporters that cannot be arrested. Okay, you know that, and those guys owe their soul to somebody. But if this is coming in from DHS, if that's the case, you know, then it makes perfect sense that what you and I are talking about tonight is that warehouse filled with stuff will be turned loose to those guys when the word is given. Does that not, it doesn't surprise you, but that basically underscores the validity of what you just said.
And there's five of those warehouses, and one's right there in Pennsylvania. I'm not going to say
how close to Doug.
There's five of these. Duck, Doug.
Hey, just send me the address.
So, again, and Doug, we're on real time, obviously. I mean, it will be recorded and downloaded all over the world. But I don't think people understand, and please, it's hard to grasp. If you had to guess the number of weapons in Leon Springs, could you guess that? I mean, how big are we talking? Yeah, for the record, Gene, you don't know this, but Doug turned up in Buffalo after Bush lost, you know, George Bush, he left, didn't run again for presidency, obviously two-term president, but he made the statement that they came close to bombing Buffalo, New York. Very few people got it. And, you know, Doug, you want to just share that, or do you think that's not relevant, or it shouldn't be shared?
Well, no, and I think that this plays right into what we're talking about, Mr. Tatum, and I think I'm sure you've got some level of knowledge about this, but of course, right after 9/11, you had the Lackawanna Six, that terror cell in Lackawanna, New York, dubbed the Lackawanna Six. But when you really started looking into it, it became the Lackawanna 60. I was on with WBEN with Tom Byerly at the time, and we had the three networks there, recording or televising the talk show. But the bottom line is this. This network, this infiltration really began in earnest, even despite 9/11, and you know this, but the connections between the training camps and all of these people brought in. Look, we turned over information to the FBI about paramilitary training taking place in Islamburg, in New York, Hancock, New York, in Buffalo, where we have videotape and photographs of paramilitary training that we turned over, and the FBI said, thank you very much, and then deep-sixed it.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, I did get a cap, though, from the FBI. I did get a baseball cap, which I have in my curio cabinet there. But beyond that, that's it.
Yeah, I've got a cup, coffee cup from the CIA, so...
Yeah, and no doubt your picture's on the wall at Langley with you know, we love this guy. But getting back on
no
point
doubt with a target on it.
yeah. Getting back on point though, just for the average person listening, how many men do you believe Leon Springs could, and this is one of five as you just told everybody, how many people do you think could that outfit?
Well, listen, Leon Springs isn't just the storage facility. It's a military installation also. You have National Guard. You had federal entities there. It's a large, large reservation. And, you know, I was in one warehouse, and I didn't even get out to where they have the bunkers and all that. So, you know, and it was explained we have heavy weapons, we have light weapons, we have anything that's needed, and they're all foreign made. We also have U.S. made without registration numbers. So anything you guys need down there, you need to let us know. And you know, I said, look, we're flying 2E medevac helicopters. We can't sling load heavy weapons. We got about a 2,500 pound sling load limit that we can run on these things, you know, with passengers on board. So you know, the logistics guys there, and they were CIA, just so you know. The logistics guys there didn't have a clue on logistics movement, but they knew that they had a whole crap load of weapons there. and the warehouse was line upon line upon line of small arms, explosives, mines. So,
well, you should have got another helicopter and put an M134 Gatling gun on it, you know, and then had that accompany you. They probably would have let you do that.
Well, not with the Red Cross. They really didn't want that done.
Well, you know, again, the situation.
Under the Red Cross. Under the Bolin Act, we had to fly under the Red Cross. So.
At this point, okay, obviously you're in South America. What do you, can I ask a question, because I don't know military stuff, you know, except guys in the military tell me, or former guys that were working with them. What was the reason why the generals and the admirals and all the high-ranking officers, and this bugs me, so I've never had an answer outside of their pensions, why did they not put up a fuss when this guy came into even running for the presidency, and even Bill Clinton said he can't run for the presidency. He's not a citizen. Why did the military, were they all bought off? I can't believe the guys that were fired were bought off. But what about their oath? What about their, and I'm not trying to be naive or Pollyanna here, but I don't get it. When they could have and should have, they didn't. And all I get is, well, we have our families to protect, yeah, and we didn't want to lose our pensions, you know. So
who was their commander in chief? Who was their commander in chief? Who was their commander in chief when this guy ran?
I got you.
That's why
it was the. Yep. Okay. Thank you. And you know, the deal is that his papa is the one that you know, wanted you to do some really nasty stuff that you refused.
That's the deal.
Yep. Okay. Well, that makes sense. You know, and again, I don't want to be vague, Doug. You're the guy that is logical in this. But the point being is that somebody controls him, and you know, obviously he bows to the king of Saudi Arabia, he bows to the president of China, he doesn't bow to Vladimir Putin, and Putin looks at him with the glare and stare of death. The point being, though, is Gene, at this point, you know, given it's time to take the United States down, let me ask you an economic question. If you saw a 2,000 to 3,000 point drop in the Dow, or even more than that, would you say that they don't care anymore? Because they've used the Dow as a hypnotist charm, keeping every, you know, I talk to people, well, the Dow's up 300 points today. Well, today is down 309. But the point I'm trying to make is they come in, and it's tearing apart the foundation of their sandcastles.
Well, let me say this. The Dow is run by computer software. That computer software can be manipulated, even as election software can be manipulated. In the casinos, we used to build casino software when I was in Costa Rica. And the casino software and the slot machine software we would build had an allowable win rate, and that win rate could be adjusted by the technicians for the online casinos. They could, and the real casinos, because they've gone electronic also with all their machines. They can make adjust that win rate to what they wanted to. They could shut that computer down at any time. So you have the same thing. Within the Secret Service, there is an entity that helps control the stock exchange. If things are looking too bad, if things are falling, they have unlimited access for buys. They have unlimited access for sells. And that is an entity of the Secret Service that sits in Washington.
So, I'm sorry.
Well, the Secret Service is under the Department of the Treasury, so you're looking at this big network of bankers and banksters, I guess is what you're saying, Chip, which is...
Yeah, well, I think Secret Service has moved to Homeland Security, but yes, and then they have the Federal Reserve there. They have access to any digital monies that they need, because that's all it is with those guys. It's digital.
Gotcha. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, again, should the, how do I say this? The plan is in play. Do you see any wild cards that you think that people will play? For instance, let me give you a good example. Do you believe the 350 guys that, you know, admirals, generals, all the, let's just say the creme de la creme of the former U.S. military's fighting forces, do you think that they believe that the powers that be that invade this country will let them live? Or are they all hightailed it out to South America, too?
A lot of them live in Costa Rica, in Ecuador, in Uruguay.
So
they have holdings outside the country.
Yeah, but it is your contention. They know that they cannot be here when it goes down.
Sure, they know. But listen... Most of your, once you leave the rank of lieutenant colonel, you're going into politics. If you want to grow yourself in the military environment, you become a politician and a yes man. So you don't have leaders there any longer. You have political positions in the U.S. military at those high ranks. They're no longer leaders. I hate to say that, but that's just the way it's gone.
What's the general consensus of all the guys that you may know from the good old days, when I say the good old days, from your past history, that were doing the same thing you're doing, you know, and I'm just asking for a percentage. If you had to put a percentage figure on it, how many of those guys are out of the country?
All of them that I know. I don't know any that are back in there. They thought I was crazy by staying as long as I did.
Gotcha. And exactly. See, here's the thing. Not everybody in this country can leave, okay? And obviously, there are people that can't leave. There are people, Doug can't leave for his own reasons. I can't leave, you know, and I can't tell people to leave because it takes a certain, you know, I'd say determination and funding to be able to do that. But again, I asked one general, 4-star, and I said, why? Why did you guys not do anything when you could? You know what he said? He said, we would have if the people would have shown any backbone to stand up against it. Have you heard that too?
Absolutely. You know, there's no backbone in America. People are couch potatoes when it comes to anything. They won't get in the streets. Look, the reason we left Vietnam is people got hot and in the streets. That's the only reason we got out of Vietnam. When people tell me, thank you for your service, sir, I tell them, thank you for getting me the hell out of there.
Well, and again, you know, the whole issue of Vietnam and you know, formerly when the French controlled it and formerly when the British controlled it. I mean, it's always been about drugs. Did you ever meet Khun Sa?
No, I did not.
Okay, because, you know,
I was just a little player back in Vietnam. I was just a 19-year-old kid, so.
Okay, the idea now is that we are facing the complete destruction of our country. The couch potatoes would rather sit on their keyboards than attack anybody who's trying to tell the truth. Did it surprise you when the U.S. military said they're going to, and they passed a law, that propaganda is now a legal form of cybersecurity? Did that make you want to basically just put your head in a bucket of cold water with ice cubes and go, this can't be even anywhere near freedom of speech? And obviously, you know, the freedom of speech doesn't exist any longer. And with the United States totally making war on Christendom, and you know, listen, people don't even care about history, but I get tired as a Christian hearing that all the atrocities, by the way, the president said that recently, Christians, I mean, they don't realize that radical, quote, Islam, historic Islam, and it's all the same thing, killed 80 million Hindus. So, you know, the thing that's appalling to me is the keyboard comfort queens, you know, or the keyboard warriors. I can tell you this every day, and it's no exaggeration. I get a call from someone saying, enough of your talk. Go out and start it. Well, you know, I thought, gee, that one probably came from Northcom, or here's one coming in from Langley. Oh, no, here's one coming in from NSA. You know, they're promoted now on the basis of how many false identities they create. Doesn't that just sound insane to you? You can understand it, but the American people don't understand it.
They're promoted by their feathers in the belt, as many people as they can take down. That's correct, and that's how they're paid. And the people don't understand that. You know, it's frustrating to me to see these security analysts on TV and in the major news and on the internet, all these historians that have never left their desk, but they're experts on national security. Oh, give me a break, you people. You have no clue. You have absolutely no clue what these people that I've worked for these years are capable of. You have absolutely no clue. They are the most evil things on earth. I won't even call them evil people because they have no hearts. They have no soul.
Right.
They can't any longer. You know, even GHW, he was so paranoid that he went on, had to go on medications when he was president. So.
Well, I talked to, actually a general once told me, and without his permission, I'd use his name, almost, he talked about being tortured, and not mentally tortured, really tortured, you know, in the White House, you know, and GHW tossing his cookies and the vice president laughing and snickering. That's when he basically decided, this is not what I want to do, you know.
General Stubblebine has put some good stuff out about information, especially when it came to, he was head of the several big projects back in the day, so I don't know if you've ever interviewed him, but he would be a good person to interview.
Yeah, no, I've talked to him, and by the way, you saw one of the guys that they released out of Guantanamo now is basically a big-time ISIS guy. Actually, no, he's a neat guy to know, the former general that ran Guantanamo, and he just finally, you know, got sick of it and retired. And by the way, he doesn't live in this country anymore either. But I guess the thing that's astonishing still to everyone is that we are seeing, if you will, we're seeing the destruction of everything in this country that was great. We're seeing the destruction of every value that this country was formulated on. we are absolutely, you know, rallying around as a nation all these rights for everybody else. But isn't it amazing everybody that screams about rights for minorities wants to take the majority and just take them out and take them down? See, we're talking about murder, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the most evil. By the way, the only word I can come up with those people that have no souls is entities, okay? I believe if you know that obviously these people have long left humanity and welcomed every form of evil spirit, and I can back that up even with Secret Service talking about some of the events, the occult events that have gone on in the White House. And I no longer call it, Gene, by the way, the White House. It's a slaughterhouse. But unfortunately, the American people don't get that yet. So, you know, give a pep talk to the American people. You're saying, look, I've done all this. That's obvious you're giving a bunch of information. But it doesn't appear that they'll ever wake up in time. And meanwhile, you know, everything is going to become the spoils of war. And to the victor go the spoils. And America is going to be plundered, yet people somehow think that, you know, they'll be with their bug-out bag and their big-screen TV with a solar panel being able to watch everything happen. The difference, I have a statement, spectators die. You want to comment on that?
Yeah. You know, when things go south, it's going to go into a domino effect, folks. It's going to move very fast. If you aren't prepared for that, you're probably going to end up starving. That's that basic. I mean, food will not be available. Trucking will not be available. Trains will not be running. Electricity, in many cases, if war breaks out here and if things are taken down, one way that they can control who, where, when, and why is by taking down electrical grids. Your electricity will not be on. It's going to get bad, and it's going to get bad fast. And for those who are prepared, I mean, even the scriptures say, be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared to live or be prepared to die. That's the best prep talk I can give you. And it's all on you. Look, you're all grown folks. I've been out here for years trying to tell you what's going on. Believe it, okay. Don't believe it, okay. That's your problem. But be prepared to live or be prepared to die, because that's exactly what it's going to come down to.
And the first... go ahead, Doug. You go ahead.
Well, you know what? I just, if we can just walk back just a couple of steps here, Mr. Tatum. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But we're getting a lot of emails asking, just for clarification, and Steve, you can chime in on this as well. With 185,000 plus background checks just on the single day, Black Friday of this year, 2 million guns being sold in November, record numbers, mechanically. And again, these are numerous questions from all over the country. People are saying, well, how, in Chip Tatum's estimation, would a gun grab go? In other words, would there be foreign nationals coming in here to assist whoever, the police be federalized? Can you just address that briefly if you, you know?
It would go very easily, grid by grid. They grid out the target area, and they go door to door, grid by grid. I mean, it's not difficult. They've been practicing it. If you guys have watched some of the videos on YouTube before the operations that took place over the summer, they were practicing going area by area, picking people out and taking them out, taking them to a fusion center or a central location, and then letting them go. You know, that it's a grid by grid search. It's no different than what we do in the military, as we go into a town and disarm a town. And the military is very adept at this. They're very practiced at it. And people, the National Guard are the people who were sent overseas when they should have been here guarding us, and sent through and doing these house-by-house grabs of weapons and caches in the Middle East. So they're very adept at it.
Are there, in this grid searches, are there high target or high value targets that will be hit first, or are they just?
You'll have teams going after high targets, but that won't be part of the grid search. They'll just okay. The high value targets are special force teams.
And that's a termination, basically termination, as Steve Quayle often mentions.
Yeah. They don't want to have.
There's one thing that I have a problem
of having to house them or anything like that. It's easier just to take them down.
You know, over the years, Gene, you know, I see really stupid blog postings. Well, I just tell them I was out fishing. I dropped my Winchester Model 94 in the, off the boat. Or, I don't know, they all burned down in a house. Well, I tell people, guess what? Pop, pop. Your toast. And would you address to the way that spec ops works at night? Because one of the things I've been trying to tell people is I think they watch too many westerns. These guys don't come in the daytime, you know, with drum and bugle corps announcing like the Revolutionary War. I mean, they hit hard. Obviously, the pilot, you know, acoustic noise cancellation, the silent stuff they've got out there. But, you know, the grid, Doug, that's what we tried to talk about a decade ago to get people to understand. They don't have to worry about taking the guns away from the Harvard, professors or any of the leftist strongholds. They know, for instance, that every single block, they know the guns, they know the targets, and they'll move a team in. The team will go from house to house. They use flashbangs, or as you'll enjoy this, Gene. One time, I was given access to a communication, and basically they just said, "Guys like you deserve a hellfire up a certain part of your anatomy." You know. So the thing is that I don't think people understand that a jet can fire from depending on the ordnance. I mean, they can fire and fly away, and a house goes up, gets blown up. They blame it on a gas leak.
25 miles away, Steve. You never even know it was there.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, I thank God, I thank God that...
GPS targeting within 1 meter of the target.
Yep. And again, by the way, I had a pilot out here a couple weeks ago, Air Force guy, and here's what he said. You remember the reports, Gene, coming in with all the C-130s landing all over the country, really flying low, doing drops, cargo door down. He was an instructor in this, okay, and he said the entire mission plan was to supply, here's his words, foreign forces fighting the holdouts in the mountains. I mean, that's the total plan. Are you familiar with the term yard farming?
No, I'm not. But I know yard we have been training foreign forces here for years. I mean, we had Saudi pilots here. We had Saudi controllers. We have special forces. As a matter of fact, I was with a friend of mine here yesterday that is from Colombia, a sergeant in the Colombian Army Intelligence, who went to MacDill and trained at MacDill, and while he was there, he had several other countries there in the training facility where they were being trained on intelligence and forces movements and so forth. So, we're training people from around the world in this entity, and they're very adept at what they do. These people are not going to come at high noon to get you. They're going to wait till you're sleeping at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you're not even going to get a bang, a knock on the door, a buzz. All of a sudden, you hear yelling, you have red or green lasers all over the place on your head, on your, and most of the time they're just going to shoot. They're not going to pick you up. They're not going to carry you out. They're going to take you down, because if you're known to have a weapon, then the defensive posture, offense, goes into an offensive posture, and they're just going to come in and they're going to shoot.
Doug, do you want to ask any questions? I mean, here's a gentleman that, by the grace of God, is on your show tonight telling people how it's going to be done, and that question that you get answered, well, look at all the guns. I'd say, people, if you got to bury your guns, you're toast. If you don't know how to use your weapon, you're toast. And if you don't know modern warfare, you're toast. And Gene, years ago, when I interviewed you, came up with a statement, you want to be where everyone else isn't. And everyone, usually, at night, sleeps in their nice warm bed, and, you know, they're going to come between 2 and 4, 2 and 5, and most people are groggy, you know, unless they're AAA and wired, you know. The point being is that a fair statement? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
My mic was... that's right on target. You're right on target with that. Best place to be is where you're not supposed to be. And,
can you say that again? I'm sorry, you cut out.
The best place to be is where you're not supposed to be for that early AM wake-up call that you're going to get.
You know, one of the other questions that we have here, Steve and Chip, is obviously, we're talking about a very sobering situation. Blood in the streets, a lot of blood in a lot of streets in America. And I know you can't answer this, but I mean, our emails are just overflowing here. Is there going to be any grace period given to people turning your guns, or is this just going to be, you know, it's going to go from 0 to 60 like right now?
Well, that sounds like, go ahead and answer that question, Chip, but that sounds like they probably ought to turn them in now. Because, you know, if that's the question, I think
I'm paraphrasing this.
What they usually offer is what's called an amnesty period. Yes.
Right. Yeah. What these emailers, I believe, are looking for is kind of what you opened with in the beginning. You know, you mentioned indicators. All right. So, what these emailers are—they're not, judging by their tone. Believe me, they're. They're going to be dying at the end of their driveway, you know, fighting. But it just seems like, okay, you know, what do we watch for? You know, is there anything to look for? And I guess an amnesty period, hey, turn in your weapons, and then that's it, right?
Chip, are you there?
When they put new gun laws in place, when they put an amnesty period in place for you to turn in your guns without any legal aspects against you, those are great indicators. But we've already gone through huge indicators. I mean, it's not like you need many more indicators to understand that it's going to hit the fan. It's going to hit the fan soon.
Amen. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think the thing is one of the things that has been really hit home, or, you know, come home to roost or whatever, is, again, they're not coming to take the guns away. Somebody, I think, asked about HVTs, high-value targets, and listen, they know exactly who is a high-value target. Anybody that tells the truth, they know what, they know not all, but they know the weapons most people have. And this is the thing. 90% of the people that I've talked to, and I've been in the firearms business a long time, since I was 22, okay, off and on. But the point being is that modern warfare has changed. They come at night. It's just like talking to people about, and I'm not trying to pitch anything, but when you've got night vision and thermal and every form of surveillance, it's tough for the average deer hunter to avoid detection. Is that a fair statement, Gene?
It's impossible, not tough.
Well, I'm trying to be kinder and gentler.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm just kidding.
Steve, it's tough for the deer hunter to be unseen.
Well, so what advice, okay, what practical advice, okay, if someone is going to, basically, Doug, you said stand at the end of their driveway and go down, the point is, the idea is to avoid the conflict as long as possible, but at some point, if this, as I was told, and can you validate, that basically, to the victors come the spoils, in other words, the foreign invasion. It's just there's so many nations that have been brought in. By the way, NATO, all of NATO troops have been here training under different bases and under different scenarios, but they're promised the goods. See, this is the thing that makes me kind of go goofy, Gene, in talking about this stuff. People think that somehow they get to keep all their stuff when there's already laws on the books passed by the entity and his entities that basically says they can move you out and move everybody into your home. That's one of the things the British did that caused the American Revolution. And I think people still looking... Go ahead.
Well, they do that now under the federal law.
Yep.
The confiscation laws, they can take anything you have. You don't own your house. You lease that land from the government. So, you know, pay your taxes, don't pay your homeowner's fees, they take it from you. But listen, strength in numbers. Anyone who thinks that they can have a 50 caliber and goes, say, oh, if they come to my house, I've got a 50 cal surprise for them. Well, they've got more of a surprise for you, dude, I guarantee that. There's strength in numbers. You have to come together. I'm not talking revolution. I'm just talking about people have to come together and realize that there's something very wrong, and they may have to stand up for their rights, and they may have to go to the streets to do it. But they're certainly not going to do it sitting on a couch waiting on the knock on the door or the bank, flash bangs coming through the window.
Do you mean watching American Idol and Dancing with the Stars won't prepare something for the hardship of war?
Right. You know, yeah. And listen, not everyone is firearms adept, you know, but you're going to need people who have other talents. People, cooks, medical
doctors,
medical care,
yep.
Doctors, medical care, cooks, food stores, you know, all kinds of things are needed when you talk about an uprising, and you can see how it's gone overseas in the Middle East, all the uprisings and that have gone on there, and without support, these people who are military adept are destined to fail.
The desire to control the hearts and minds of the liberals versus the destruction of the middle class. By the way, the majority of middle class used to be fairly conservative. Now, for the first time in history, the middle class has fallen big time. It's very, very, what would you say? It's now common thought or common knowledge that the middle class isn't there anymore. By the way, if there's a 25-point basis rise in the interest rate, that takes $800 billion out of the economy. And people don't understand it. The only ones that will be able still to get money is Wall Street, not Main Street. Has it surprised you being out and coming back just the devastation on America's, quote, what I would call the average man financial infrastructure? I mean, you know, our standard of living has been pillaged, plundered, and destroyed, and yet people still want to work for the company store, you know? It's got to. As you come back into the country when you were here and now you're out, what's some of the most heartbreaking things that you notice? Because even a stroboscope, meaning intermittent light, or seeing, that's the only way you can see something that's speeding up in motion. That's how you time an engine. What are you seeing that, as much as you know, as much as you've done, that even blows your mind? If anything, maybe nothing does.
Nothing really blows my mind. You know, I understand what was going to be going on. But what is a little heartfelt for me is seeing whole families in food lines, families having to live in cars, seeing in one city block area in the subdivision that I have in the United States, in Florida, three out of every 10 homes abandoned. You know, that's pretty damning.
It's really sobering, you know. And again, in Bozeman, Montana, it's kind of winter. You know, it's 50 one day and 15 the next, but every couple days. But I'm surprised, you know, it breaks my heart, the veterans that are totally abandoned. And you know, I've been told this story. I don't know if you've heard this, but I get wives who are Christians and their husbands are Christians that are suffering in so much pain because they're shot up, blown up, you know, blown apart. They just got genuine medical issues, and the husbands are asking the wives to kill them, to take them out of their misery. Now, can you imagine a woman, you know, your wife, you know, you being in so much pain, not that you would do it, I'm speaking rhetorically, but I'll tell you what, that's heartbreaking. That is absolutely heartbreaking, and it's also anger increasing. The veterans, 350,000, Gene, in the last year since, you know, who's been in the slaughterhouse, you know, gone.
Yeah, but absolutely, yeah, I understand, yeah. And the Veterans Administration has basically pulled away from pain medications and helping pain management for these guys, hoping that they'll take themselves out so that they won't have to pay the pensions longer. I mean, it's right. basic finances 101 for them. That's how they're looking at it.
Are you hearing from men who are also still in the States of having their whereabouts through phone calls, voice recognition, hang-ups, dial-in hang-ups? Are you hearing that more of that is increasing, or the people that you pretty much relate to are all out of country now?
Yeah, most of my people are out of country or are active-duty military and
right.
in higher ranks. Getting ready to retire. So, yeah, and they're always listened to. So,
at this juncture in time, what is it today? The December 11th. And let's say March. Let's say it's the Ides of March. I'm just pulling that out. I'm not saying anything, but you know, for date wise. But let's say it is the Ides of March. You know, and it really, really goes back. Do you see the newest law that if you owe the IRS any money, you're not allowed to leave the country? Did you see that just passed?
No.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I understand. Any debt, even if you, what they do is they don't, they'll take your passport.
Yep.
That's how they do it. You know, you get your... in line, they take your passport. You're a number, you're a statistic. Look, anyone who's short on what is it, child support, can't get a passport. Now, I'm a proponent that if you're not paying child support, that's not a good thing. But they're just, the control is there. I mean, folks, it's hard to leave the country. It's hard to leave the comfort of what you know your life is like and what you have. It wasn't hard for me because my whole life was spent, most of it overseas on missions. But if you're looking at leaving the country, it's so difficult to give up those basic comforts that you worked your life for and the values that you feel that America gives. But I'm going to tell you now, the comfort is also available outside the United States. If you're looking at doing something, you need to try to learn a new language. There are more Spanish-speaking people in the world than there are English-speaking people, and Spanish is an easy language to learn. The cost of living is a third down here as opposed to the United States. So there are ways to do it, but as a family with young kids, it's going to be very difficult. So I wouldn't be a proponent of telling you to prepare to leave the United States. I would tell you, prepare to be whole. Prepare to be self-sufficient in as many ways as you can. And you may have to leave the comfort of that home and go live up in the hills somewhere or something. You may have to do that.
Steve, we're at the top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report with Steve Quayle and Chip Tatum. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.